In the case of the president, do you get a sense that his regular attendance and adherence to the faith resonates with American Catholics?
I would say that he's very sincere about his faith, but like a number of Catholics, he picks and chooses dimensions of the faith to highlight while ignoring or even contradicting other parts. There is a phrase that we have used in the past, a cafeteria Catholic. You choose that which is attractive and dismiss that which is challenging.
Or, as Thomas Aquinas would say, you allow your conscience to guide you.
Is there something on the menu he's not ordering, in your view,
so to speak? I would say there are things, especially in terms of the life issues, there are things that he chooses to ignore, or he uses the current situation as a political pawn rather than saying, look, my church believes this.
It's also possible to be a practitioner of the faith as a public leader and not require everyone that you lead in your country to be guided by all of the precepts of your faith, right?
And in my coverage of him, it seems that's what he believes.
That's what I would interpret.
I fell asleep. Yeah, I guess we'll go on camera now. People can stop emailing me before the start of the show. Welcome to the program. It's good to be with you. Guys, I was really well behaved yesterday. Oh my gosh, I was just lovey-dovey. I was so good yesterday because they didn't get online and talk about the proclamation and all of this stuff. And, you know, it would be, I'm just saying, and that's what this archbishop was talking about in this, and some of the most boring audio I've ever heard in my life, because I think it's like NPR quality. So it was Kane Rutt, right? This was the archbishop. He called Biden a cafeteria Catholic because of this proclamation that he put out on Resurrection Sunday. First off, welcome to the program. Dana Loesch here with you at the top of this first hour. And good to be with you. So did you guys read that proclamation? Did you read it, Kane? Yeah. Oh, well, Kane sent it to me first. You sent it to me like the crack of dawn, like the second it came out.
My bad.
Yeah. You sent it to me it was good because you saw it first. I had a piece, I had a short piece up at Substack that I had written about this, because the proclamation, and I saw some people saying, well, this came out before. This has come out, but I don't care if it's come out before. Every single time it comes out, I'm going to say something. Stop with the whole, well, it came out in 2009, every time somebody murders somebody, you say it's bad, right? Do you just ignore somebody doing something bad because, well, they did it before? That's such a stupid argument. Shh. So this proclamation about the Trans Day of Visibility on Easter Sunday. On Resurrection Day, this proclamation, and we're going to talk more about it later on in the hour. It stated that Easter Sunday was the Trans Day of Visibility, whatever that means. I don't even know what that means. What does Trans Day of Visibility mean? What is that? We see them.
All the time.
Yeah. I mean, we see it. I see them all the time. It's not like they're hard to miss, okay? The women that on the Trans Day of Visibility are like 8 foot tall, and they have beards and balls. I mean, it's not difficult. Don't even get me started on the dudes, right? So insisting that it falls on a Sunday, the Lord's Day is bad enough, but insisting that it comes on Resurrection Sunday, that's just straight up blasphemous. So it says, blah, 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 virtue. And again, I understand the arguments from the people who have been saying that, well, this is something that I don't care. I don't care every single time it happens. I'm going to call it out. said that they, it's the National Trans Day of Visibility. All Americans lift up the lies and voices, blah, 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 blah. There's a couple of things wrong here. First off, I think it's like we were saying, there's too much trans activism, not too little. It's a tiny, little bitty, weensy segment of the population that is struggling with a mental issue, and it's overrepresented by an astronomical margin in entertainment and even and in news and then discussions with news. It's completely overrepresented. But that's on by design. It's all on purpose, why it's overrepresented. It's on purpose because they want this. It's a tactic of mainstreaming it and forcing acceptance instead of people just living their lives. Live your lives. Make your choices. Stop trying to shove it down everybody else's throat. But oh, no, no, we can't do that because this is America. We can't do that anymore, apparently. So the second thing is we see too little Jesus. We see too little Jesus in entertainment and daily life, everything. Nobody's immune. But that's, you know, that's kind of the point of all Resurrection Sunday. And so to send this thing out, and I was really nice, even in the thing that the post that I had sent out for Easter Sunday, I was very, very nice. Now it's Monday and I'm not nice anymore. Because I am just so fed up with the saturation, the militant overrepresentation, and this idea that unless you affirm someone else's view of themselves, no matter how fantastical it may be, then you are a bigot or you are this or you are that. And that's asinine. There's nothing ever said about the bigotry of people who are trying to, by force or penalty or whatever, demand that other people affirm how they see themselves and refuse to acknowledge any other view, regardless how based in science or reality it may be. If we're going to have a discussion of bigotry, let's talk about the bigotry demonstrated by those people. They had this Easter egg roll. Well, aren't they doing the Easter egg thing? Aren't they doing some kind of roll today or something like that? Or did they do it on Easter Sunday? I don't ever pay attention to anything the Bidens do unless I have to. Yeah. I just, yeah. And so this whole thing, the Easter egg roll, the rules for that apparently were they couldn't have any Christian symbolism. I don't know if you heard that. That was reported by a couple of different outlets. They couldn't have any Christian symbolism or any like religious symbolism is what they said. But I mean, it's Easter. I mean, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a Christian holiday. And the New York Post, it was Newsweek, it was a number of things. They said that the religious themed designs were banned from the egg contest, is what had been reported. And then you had the American Egg Board that I didn't even know. Did you know there was an American Egg Board?
Yeah.
You did? Yeah. Why? I mean, because not why did you know, but why do we have to have it?
No, you're right. And you know how they've been flip-flopping on how bad eggs are. Remember, eggs were bad for a while, then eggs are good, yeah. And then eggs were bad for a little bit, then they're back to good again?
Yeah.
That's them. That's them.
So they were saying, well, no, that's not right. What do you mean that's not right? Religious symbols aren't banned? No, I mean, they are. Oh, they are banned? Okay, then what? Well, but they've been, I mean, they've been banned from the Easter celebration since 1978. What does that have to do with the fact that they're still banned? And are you so desperate to stand for Joe, let me kiss your butt, Biden, that you're good? Oh, no, they are banned. Okay, they're still banned. What's the point? That's stupid. You're literally talking about, guys, did anybody else rise from the dead? Any other religious figure? No? Okay. It's Christian holiday. Don't sit here and have a Christian holiday about the Messiah coming back to life and then say we're going to ban all symbolism of Christ resurrecting at the Christ resurrection event. You don't get an Easter event without Jesus coming back up from the grave, guys. And it's the single most corroborated thing in entire history. Entire history. You had the disciples that were tortured for it. You had, guys, who was it that said this? Is it Chuck Colton who said that you had the men at Watergate, they couldn't keep it quiet and keep it wrapped up for 3 days? And then the disciples, how many years? And it was immediately corroborated where it happened by the people who were there who witnessed it happening. Never else in any other religion, in any other bit of history, has that ever occurred. So anyway, my point being, you have a celebration of Christ's resurrection and you're banning religious symbols for this stupid egg contest. I never thought anything could make me hate eggs, Kane, but it did. Congratulations, everybody. And they're like, well, you know, the policy's been in place. And I don't care. Next. So what, egg board? I love that these people are so desperate to defend their progressive messiah. They will do whatever to defend this guy. Well, you know, it's been, I don't care if it's been banned. What does that have to do with the fact that add insult to injury? Now, you also still, for the past several years, have had this and another proclamation. He issues another proclamation for it. You don't see the tone deafness of doing this on Sunday. It's not that it's tone deaf. It's that it was done on purpose. It was a giant finger in the air to all Christians across the United States of America. Christians are hated and still persecuted, and you have Christians killed every single day. This is nothing new. And then everybody else has the audacity to act like Christians are the bullies. I mean, you realize that issuing a proclamation like this and continuing to do it on Easter Sunday, this is the administration that said nothing about the Christian children who were murdered by a trans terrorist in Nashville. You remember how all that went down? It was apparently, you know, the trans terrorist that murdered the children was the victim, according to the press and the left. That person was the victim. They were the true victim in all of this, not the dirty Christians. It was almost like the media reacted as though they deserved it because of their faith. The White House never said anything about that, ever. You're having an event at the White House, but you can't, about, what would this event be without the resurrection of Jesus? It's rhetorical. What? The Easter Bunny isn't real and eggs are stupid. I always thought it was dumb. I never really practiced at my house. I'm sorry if anybody, I'm not Big Bird. You shouldn't have me babysitting your children. That's not my job. I'm not welfare Dana, okay? I'm not out here, baby. You know, that's a consequence of having kids listen to me. It is. I'm doing you a favor. I never did it in my house because I thought it was stupid. I mean, I get it. There was like renewal of spring. I'm like, but I also didn't go to the event where I had like a chocolate Jesus that you would eat. Have you ever seen those, Kane? They actually mold them. Have you seen those? I swear to you. What would you do? Like if somebody gave your kids like a chocolate, yeah, like a chocolate Jesus to eat or a chocolate cross to eat. It's weird, right? I've never gone that far.
Yeah, neither have I.
But I'm like, I don't do the bunnies. I don't do any of that. I've never done any of that. I've never done, like, the family will do Easter eggs, but I've never been like, yes, there's a magical rabbit that somehow gets eggs and they have goodies. And I've never done that.
I have a joke I'll tell you in break about.
Oh, so it's not, it's a good one.
What do you think? Yeah, it is. What do you think about peeps?
Peeps? Oh, I love to bite the heads off of them. They're great. First thing I did. I did, because it's just the most obvious place to go first, right? And I remember I did it not to be mean. My oldest son was little bitty, and I bit the head off this peep, and he just bawled. Like, oh my God! So like, that was sad. I guess can't do that anymore. So I didn't have peeps in our house for a while. But I did, but you bite the heads right off them. And then after that, they're no good. That's the only fun part. That's all they're good for.
I'd like to introduce you to my friends over at American Financing, a trusted family-owned mortgage company with a rich 25-year history. Now, American Financing specializes in helping homeowners like yourself save an average of $854 per month by leveraging their home's equity to eliminate high-interest debt. And with mortgage rates currently at historically low levels in the fives, there's never been a better time to explore your options. A quick 10-minute call to their team of salary-based mortgage consultants can reveal just how much you stand to save. And best of all, American Financing operates with transparency, never charging any upfront fees, and they may even offer the flexibility to delay two mortgage payments. Reach out today to American Financing at 866-574-2500 or visit their website at AmericanFinancing.net. Call 866-574-2500 or visit AmericanFinancing.net.
NMLS 182334. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.799% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 866-574-2500 for details about credit costs and terms.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So 60 Minutes has done this, I guess, this investigative report where they were looking at Havana Syndrome. And that's that weird sonic weapon injuries that have been taking place in Cuba. And they said that it's linked to a Russian unit, like a special ops, like an intelligence unit. And they were able, there was like apparently some crazy video of a road, like a pursuit, a traffic pursuit. And they found all this stuff in this guy's car, and it had to do, I mean, it's like, it sounds like a Jack Ryan thing, doesn't it? It really does. But they said that it looks like it's a Russian intel unit, according to this joint media investigation. And I'm going to ask Stephen Yates about this coming up. Moscow says, oh, these are groundless, etc. They say they're groundless accusations. We'll see. AT&T says leaked data set impacts about 73 million current and former account holders, according to latest reports. They say that Saturday, a data set released on the dark web a couple of weeks ago impacted about 7.6 million current account holders, 65 million former account holders. And it looks like it's from 2019 or earlier. And they don't even know where, if it originated from AT&T, they don't really know jack squat, that they don't know anything. Apparently, older Americans are drinking a lot because they have to deal with a lot of stupidity. That's my guess. I'm going to wager that. Actually, they say it's because discretionary income and they're bored. I'm not even kidding you. That's really what the two driving factors were. Colleges are facing an enrollment nightmare, and I hope they do so because it's a highway robbery. And that's what happens when Congress consolidates everything at the federal level and drives up the price. We have more to come.
Hello, thank you for listening to The Dana Show. This is columnist and podcaster Sarah Carter, and I'd like to tell you about your new best friend on Friday nights, ZBiotics. Let me tell you, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on waking up with a smile on my face, ready to face the day. Go to ZBiotics.com/radio, R-A-D-I-O, to get 15% off your first order when you use radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/radio, and use the code radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Said, and Dr. Biden, what's the theme this year? This is something close to your heart.
It is. You know, I've been a teacher for over 30 years, so this is education. So as you can see, there's something for everybody here. So we have science projects. We have phys ed class. You can learn about the solar eclipse that's coming. We have a reading nook. We have dinosaurs. Something for everybody, because education just doesn't happen in the classroom.
Education, kill me now. Welcome back. That was Jill Biden on the White House Easter egg roll. It's education. What does that even mean? That's so stupid. Golly. I mean, I get it. They do this thing, you know, the White House, the Easter egg roll. I think all of this stuff is performative anymore. I think everybody just needs to come out and be like, you know what? We don't care about certain faiths. Certain faiths will bend over backwards to excuse their brutality, you know, like Islamofascism and the new Islamic jurisprudence that says that it's okay to stick grenades in women's vaginas and cut their boobs off and do all of this other stuff in the name of war and a fake occupation because you're the real colonizers, not everybody else. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this second hour, and our first hour rather. And so this, and I'm going to say it again for the people who are slow on the uptake, right? Because I keep getting, well, trans day has been, this has been this for this long. I don't care. do I need to draw these people a picture because they struggle with listening comprehension to the point where they have to have some kind of visual aid to help them process the information that's being distributed from my mouth to their ears? Do they require some sort of visual crutch to assist them? Do they need somebody there to explain it? Do they share the same sort of desiccated intelligence that Joe Biden does that prevents them from fully grasping that? That actually makes it worse. The fact that this year it fell on Easter and they didn't decide to like move it a day, that makes it worse. Thank you for making my point all evermore the stronger. Good grief. That's it though. I mean, look at the way that all of the religions are treated in these United States. Look at the way that the Jewish faith is treated, the Christian faith is treated. But there's some that you can't touch. There's some faiths you can't touch. What gets me is that, take for instance, the battle over what kids, children, minors, are allowed to learn in school and what they're not allowed to learn in school. What they're not allowed to learn in school. It's not even a lesson. It's not even academics. I mean, they shouldn't be presented with materials that are considered of the hustler variety, right? Particularly without their parents' knowledge, which is what a lot of bills like in Florida and elsewhere have sought to remedy, to make sure that parents are still involved and can still make determinations about what is or isn't, something that their kids can have access to. And in Michigan, there's a huge group of parents that got together and they were like, yes, they should not have access to it. And it's amazing because Democrat politicians are like, oh, okay. The difference is that those parents, their faith, they're Muslims. Their faith is Islamic. They're Muslim parents. And they can say this and they're not attacked as bigots and they're not attacked as insert pejorative here. They don't have their characters impugned. There's like certain things that only like one religion can bring up, and then it's considered okay that if they bring it up and then nobody talks about it in the press. Like, go back to, what was it, Prop 8 in California? Prop 8, that was the traditional marriage thing that they were going to vote on, and there was this huge organized effort to try to shame and bully people into not supporting it. And they decided to go after like the Mormons more than anybody else, which was the funniest thing ever, considering it was Black and Latino families in California that were literally driving the support overwhelmingly for that measure. And the Mormons were only like a small percentage of it. They even went after the Scientologists, which, I mean, don't even get me started. They like protested around their thing. They protested at all the Mormon churches. They were targeting like all the Mormons in Utah. I mean, like, they're in Utah, not even California. Because it was easier to target them than it was to target the Black and Latino voters who were driving this because their values are more traditional. They couldn't target them because then they would be violating their own rules. By their own rules, you cannot disagree with a person if they check an identity politics box, because that makes you either sexist, racist, bigoted, etc. See, that identity politic is used as a veneer to deflect any kind of criticism. It is a pass. So you can't criticize them. So the left ran afoul of their own rules. They're like, what are we going to do? Let's go after the Mormons. They're an easy target. Mormons are easy to kick around. They don't chop off anybody's head or blow up anybody's, you know, buildings. They don't do anything like that. You know, they're not out there raping women in Gaza. They don't do anything like that. We're just going to go ahead and target the Mormons. And that's what they did. They weren't going to go after the Black and Latino voters in California that were driving it, because then they'd be racist and bigots, right? And they'd probably lose a very important demo that they needed in order to actually get votes. It's just amazing. I don't know why this, the fact that it fell on that day, they could have moved it by a day. I'm so tired of the visibility. There's too much visibility. There's too much damn visibility. It's oversaturated. It's being shoved down your throats incessantly, because that's the tactic. That's the purpose. This isn't about tolerance. A lot of people say the word tolerance and they mean total not even acceptance. They mean total adoption. Tolerance to them is a word that they use when they mean adoption. It's not enough to live and let live to these people. It's not enough to go about your daily life, do what you got to do day in and day out, and then just get done, raise your kids, pay your bills. It's not enough. You have to affirm whatever their heads cook up. You have to affirm, and not just affirm, but praise, applaud. When I was growing up, everybody was told, well, what happens behind closed doors is those people's business. Stay out of their bedroom. Now they're dragging you in by your collar, forcing you to watch and applaud. Big difference from then and now. But that was always ever the goal. No, it's about adoption. And if you don't adopt it, then you're penalized. You lose your job. You lose your friends. You're ostracized. They target you in your community. You lose out at sports competitions, scholarships, places on teams, recognition for merit for your born sex. There was a, I'm going to pull this up. There's a track meet. I just saw this. It happened, I think this was over the weekend. It was like an NCAA thing. And it was a student who was a man, a male student, and running in a women's track event. Anybody who's ever, and I ran track, anybody who's ever participated in track and field knows that women and men are very different with their abilities, right? Very different because they're women and men. Very different thing. The NCAA allows male athletes to participate in women's track events. And I was watching a female athlete that was at University of Idaho and Idaho State University. They lost second and third places because dudes competed against them and they won. This has been going on for years. The NCAA Women's Track and Field Champion for 2019 is trans. You have the Women's Cyclist Champion for UCI, two-time trans. The 2019 New Zealand's Women's Weightlifting Champion is trans. The top player in International Women's Volleyball League is trans. Meaning it's a man competing as a woman. These are men who suck as male athletes. They cannot compete at the top level as male athletes, and they treat women's sports like the JV League. They treat women's sports like this is our backup plan. They absolutely do. These are guys who went through puberty as dudes. They competed as dudes even. They competed as dudes. This is recent for the, and this is not the exception. This is 99% the trend. Because they want that scholarship opportunity. They want all this. So they prey on, I'm like, this isn't an ethical dilemma. It's insanity. Insanity. No event there for women. Nothing like that. I mean, you know how different it is with men and women's races? My gosh. I ran track and field in high school. I went to state. I was varsity. Like the moment I became a freshman, I was varsity. I did select throughout the summer, all of that. I was a distance runner. The least I could, the shortest I could do was an 800. And that was hard on me. I can like run forever at the same speed. I can keep a great speed and I literally can run for miles. I have crazy endurance. I just didn't have a lot of the fast twitch muscles that you need for sprinters. I'm not a sprinter. But I would run 4x8 every now and then as like a sub if somebody got hurt. But I ran mile and 2 mile. When I was varsity for mile and 2 mile. And I think my best time that I had in mile was like 5:50. I was a 5:40 or 5:49:50. Yeah, I was a crazy miler. Now, but here's the thing. As good as I was as a varsity miler, you know, I went to district, sectional, state, as good as I was, when I ran against dudes, I was JV level. I was JV. I couldn't keep up with the varsity dudes. And I was one of the top athletes in my state. I could not keep up with varsity dudes. It's the reality of it. That's the way we're built. They could keep a pace faster than me, and they could outrun me. They could out-endure. Because that's biology. As good as I was, and as much as I trained, and I was running every day. I was such a jock in school. I did all the sports. I also did classical ballet for 17 years to the point where I was like fatiguing my muscles. I was so into everything, into all the athletics, but track and cross country were my top. As good as I was, as disciplined as I was with training, and as much as I beat the other chicks, I was JV running as a dude. And that's just the biology of things. I never thought that was unfair or I should be accommodated because I live in reality. And I look at these dudes out there in sports today, track and field. These guys, instead of these track, they'd be JV. Actually, they wouldn't even make their college team, I don't think. They'd be JV. They wouldn't be, they're not first string. They're not good. But they run as, they figured out if they run as chicks and they compete with women, oh, hey, then they can go somewhere. I mean, they're outpacing the women in all of these track events. It's crazy. You've seen the videos of them, men playing volleyball against chicks. Have you seen video of men playing soccer against chicks? Basketball? In every sport. It's biology. They don't want to be women. They want to be men playing as women. Don't sit here and say you want to be a part of the sisterhood when you're willing to unfairly use your biological advantage as a way to get ahead of that sisterhood in sports. You're a fraud. That's exactly what all this is. And it's tolerated by NCAA. Why do people, you know, it's not going to stop. Women are going to have to quit en masse. They will. Because this is not a thing where the men can stand up and defend the women. The women are going to have to hit back. Third wave feminists have put women in this very unfortunate position. They sold out the sisterhood. They sold out the very thing that they say they were fighting to protect. Not only did they make it to where you have to have a dual income family, you can't even stay at home with your kids anymore if you want to, but I'll be damned, now you got to worry about competing against women in sports. They think the only true measure of a woman is being out in the field with a man as long as the man's out in the field. That's asinine. Talk about setting women back by centuries. All the work gone. It wasn't good enough to be able to inherit property and vote and have get paid equally. That wasn't good enough. No, they went too far and now they're reaping what they've sown. What's happening now to women is a reckoning for what third wave did. Those are facts. It's our friends over at Kel-Tec. It's time to get to the range and just blow some holes through stuff, I think. The new Gen 3 9mm carbine, the Sub 2K, it's shipping now. And it twists. It folds in half. The previous ones did too, but this one's different. There's some upgrades. For instance, you don't have to take your optics off to fold it in half. Everything. Simple twist and fold motion of that patent pending rotating forend. You can twist it in either direction. Folds it right in half. And you can quickly and easily deploy it as well. But there's even more. You have an upgraded aluminum trigger, redesigned mechanics, lightened 5-pound pull. You get more precise feedback. It translates into improved accuracy and follow-up shots, upgraded action. You even have a new chamber indicator. And that's not, it's awesome. All awesome stuff. Ambidextrous bolt hold open. It's all Kel-Tec's made in America, family-owned values, Florida-based at their best. To learn more about the new Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C. Tell them Dana sent you.
The Federal Reserve is lying to you. As Jay Powell continues to tease about lowering interest rates, he needs to raise them. All they're doing is monetizing our debt while inflation remains hot. Why? Government's spending way more than it takes in.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And I'm coming down to do that Easter egg roll in just a minute. Thank you all so very, very much. Thanks, everybody. And by the way, say hello to oyster bunnies. Come on up, bunnies. Get up here.
I don't want to see an oyster bunny. That sounds terrifying.
Come on, get in there.
Why does the other one have Jim Jones glasses on? One of them has some Jim Jones glasses. You guys know those sunglasses, those big 070 sunglasses? an uncle that wore those. The White House Easter egg roll that was Biden at the Days of these United States. Didn't that kick off? I thought it was like on yesterday. It kicked off today. They had a storm delay, so it started. And they had the Easter egg roll, 90 minutes on Monday. Let's see. They had 40,000 people, 10,000 more than last year. And you have to roll hard-boiled eggs across the lawn to a finish line. You can't have any religious decorations on them. And if you note that, the egg board comes out and is like, well, it's been like that since the 70s, because they're so eager to defend against Biden, which is stupid. No one said anything about your precious stalker, you know, target Biden, you absolute fruitcakes. Golly, these people are obsessed. We're noting that it's stupid that you can't put it on there. It's dumb. And then the whole declaration of this Trans Day of Visibility, he issues a proclamation every year. And the fact that this year it fell on Easter makes it even worse. So you can sit here and say that he didn't declare that Resurrection Day was the Trans Day proclamation, but he literally did. I don't give a rat's backside how many years prior he did. He did it again. And this time it's on Easter, and it makes it even worse. And yes, it should be called out every single time. But there's a little nuance there that they're trying to seize on that and try to defend it, because Biden has literally said he didn't say it now. He literally has now said that they didn't do it. We're going to play that audio for you coming up at the top of the second hour. They've actually literally have said that. I mean, it's in writing. It's who's in the White House? It's Biden. The White House president sent out a proclamation. He said it. We're going to talk about that and a lot more coming up. Second hour on the way. Stick with us. All right, we got a lot more on the way as we get moving our partners, because everybody needs to get their greens, and Field of Greens is here to help you out. Don't sit here and lie to me and be like, well, Dana, I get all of my necessary nutrients. No, you don't. You have a deficit just like everybody else, because nobody sits down and eats all of the vegetables and fruits that they're supposed to eat. And even if you do, are they actually good quality produce? I mean, think about how, honestly, our food's poisoned, and most of it's poison. This is why Field of Greens is so incredibly important, because they get 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables, real organic superfood. This is not a supplement. These are actual, like, fruits and vegetables that's been medically selected by doctors for their specific health benefits. Antioxidants, fiber, prebiotics, all formulated by a team of physicians, right? And so you're going to notice a difference. You notice a difference when you eat healthy anyway. And when your body's getting all of the nutrients that it needs to run as efficiently as possible, well, you're going to notice the difference. You're going to notice that you have healthier looking skin and hair and nails. It helps with digestion. You're going to feel better overall because you're getting everything that you need. And this is what Field of Greens does. One scoop into 8 ounces of any kind of liquid, preferably healthy. You can make a smoothie out of it, whatever. They have tons of recipes on their websites. You're going to love it. And if you don't, which, you know, that's never going to happen, they're going to give you 100% money back guarantee. So to start, Field of Greens wants to give you 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Dana. That's fieldofgreens.com. Promo code Dana. And trust Field of Greens for better health.
So the criticism over the Transgender Day of Visibility, the White House said that the president wouldn't abuse his faith for political purposes. Does the president think that's what Republicans are doing?
I mean, look, just a couple of things. And really so surprised by the misinformation that's been out there around this. And I want to be very clear. Every year for the past several years, on March 31st, Transgender Day of Visibility is marked. And as we know, for folks who understand the calendar and how it works, Easter falls on different Sundays, right? Every year. And this year it happened to coincide with Transgender Visibility Day. And so that is the simple fact. That is what has happened. That is where we are. And I do want to say a couple of things, because I think it's important here. As you just stated in your questions, what we've been hearing out there, a lot of misinformation done on purpose. And as a Christian who celebrates Easter with family, President Biden stands for bringing people together and upholding the dignity and freedoms of every American.
Sure.
Now, sadly, and it's not surprising, right? It is actually unsurprising that politicians are seeking to divide and weaken our country with cruel, hateful,
and dishonest
rhetoric.
But that's exactly what he did, though.
Dishonest.
That's, first off, and I, as I've said this before, for the conservatives that are helping the media. The fact that there's been a day since 09 is irrelevant to the fact, and I'm going to say this very slowly so the drive-bys can understand, the fact that this whole trans visibility thing has existed since 2009 is irrelevant to the absolute fact that the very first presidential proclamation for it took place this year on a Sunday, and not just any Sunday, Resurrection Day, aka Easter. And that was the first presidential proclamation for it. This isn't rocket science. That makes it different. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you, top of this second hour. And that was KJP just a little bit ago saying that, well, it's, you know, just misinformation. She's trying to say it's misinformation. And they were also, this is what I don't get either. This is from Real Clear Politics' White House reporter, Phil Wegman, who says that Biden was asked about proclaiming Easter Sunday the trans day of visibility. And Biden said, quote, I didn't do that. When asked about Speaker Johnson's claim otherwise, the president replied, quote, he's thoroughly uninformed. But he did literally do that. He literally issued the proclamation. And that's the thing that KJP wasn't being honest about when she was explaining this. She wasn't being honest about it. She was saying that, well, this, it's, you know, it's been around since whatever, and it just happened to fall this year on a Sunday. And, you know, sometimes Easter, you know, it's Easter falls on different Sundays. Like she's purposely trying to insult you, and she's acting like you're stupid by trying to explain to you how calendars work. The lady who can't, you know, say the doesn't know the difference between Nord Stream and Nordstrom. That's not a joke. Can't say the word emeritus. Can't say a whole bunch of other words. Her vocabulary is miles wide, inches deep. Can't pronounce a whole bunch of stuff. You know, that chick, she wants to lecture you about how calendars work. But what she's not telling you, as I said, is that this is the first time a presidential proclamation was issued for it. And it was a presidential proclamation that was issued on Easter Sunday. Big difference, don't you think? I mean, of all the years to issue a presidential proclamation for the trans visibility thing, you made it Easter Sunday? And now you're going to try to whine about getting criticism for doing so? Maybe you shouldn't have issued the proclamation. Maybe you should have had your calendar whiz, KJP, check the calendar. Why didn't you do it last year or the year before? Why did you wait and do it when it fell on Easter Sunday? That's the million-dollar question. That's what she does not address to reporters. Because if she did mention that, if she included that very relevant and very important piece of information, then she would be asked, well, why did he do it this Sunday? Easter Sunday. Why didn't he do it last year or the year before that? Why didn't he do it any of those times? Why didn't Barack Obama do it? I mean, it was 2009. Why didn't he do it? Oh, well, she wouldn't have an answer to that, would she? And then she would have to address then the claim that it was done purposefully to antagonize Christians. You know, they've been trying to come out with this narrative, the national Christian nationalist. They did this on purpose to try to inflame that. They want to provoke a certain reaction out of you. They are trying to, with their actions, draw out a specific response from you. They need stuff to bolster this Christian nationalist thing, this narrative that they invented because someone said that our rights, our natural rights, come from God. Now, a quick note on that. That is literally the recognized difference by the founders between natural and civil rights. Civil rights, as we've discussed so often, being created by men in a courtroom for other men. They go through the legal process. It's either done legislatively or it's in a court of law. So they create laws that give that are privileges, not rights. Natural rights fall under the purview of the divine, meaning they cannot be polluted by man. They cannot be perverted by man. They cannot be taken by man or controlled by man. That's why communism feared God. Karl Marx, communism is the opiate of the asses. You know, he was trying to say that religion is the opiate of the masses. Well, communism is the opiate of the asses. And Karl Marx was terrified of Christianity because Christianity challenges tyrants, challenges all of that. If you look throughout biblical history, God even challenges monarchs, trying to force people into being led by themselves and putting God first. Your only monarch should be the Lord. He's challenged people throughout biblical history to this. People demanded a king, though. People love having something to worship. They like to have something on earth to follow and tell them what to do. Not everybody, but a lot. Throughout history, it's... And so this effort at trying to invent this idea of Christian nationalism, they want to do one of two things. They want to tie in populism, which too much populism weaponized is very dangerous. Populism in small amounts is fine, just like anything in small amounts. Too much and it gets nutty. They're trying to wrap up populism with faith. And by faith, I mean the recognition that natural rights are under the purview of the divine. And that's the cool thing about it, too. You don't have to be a Christian in order for your rights to be protected under that jurisdiction, the heavenly jurisdiction, a natural right by way of being a citizen of this country. You don't have to be a person of that faith or any faith in order to have your rights protected from the pollution of man in such a way. That's the beauty and the gift of this faith and its place in this country. But these people are too goofy to realize that. They want to divide and they want to destroy. Every time, it's always a different vehicle, but it's the same mode, right? It's the same goal. Different means, but same end. They want to destroy faith. Because if they can displace God as first and foremost in the United States, then what can take his place? A tyrant. I mean, that's literally every throughout history. I mean, that's why history is important. It's been like that throughout the ages. That's why communists are terrified of Christianity. Karl Marx was terrified of Christianity. Tyrants are terrified of Christianity because it gives people freedom and it also reminds these tyrants that you're not number one. So that's what they're doing. This is all about that Christian nationalist narrative. They want to make you ashamed for identifying as a person of faith. They want to make you feel ashamed that your rights fall under the purview of a God that would have Christian nationalists. They're not coming right out and saying it, but believe that's exactly what they're doing. That is the entire purpose of this. They want to pervert it in your mind and misrepresent it to you. They want to cast the seed of doubt in your mind so as to chill speech and also to not affirm that truth, that natural rights do not fall under their purview. They always misrepresent it. Whenever you hear any kind of elected official or anybody really say that, you know, we have natural rights that were granted to us by God, they're like, what do you mean you think God gives you rights? Well, yeah, actually. And? Wait, you prefer men give you rights? Notice how the tyrants always, they always yell and holler about tyranny because they want to be the tyrants. That's what it always is. They get mad at everybody else and they try to cast everybody else as being a tyrant because they want to be the tyrants. And they don't want you to acknowledge that your rights are untouchable. That's ultimately what that means. Your rights are untouchable. They don't want you to acknowledge that. They don't want you to affirm that. So they got to pollute it in your mind. That's what this whole thing was about. To elicit a specific reaction from you. Now, I think the best way to respond to this is that it's Jesus' day of visibility. Jesus basically gets 2 days. That's sad. Don't they get a whole month? The letter people?
And then some.
And it's not a problem with visibility. We see you. Okay. I was watching the video of this dude who's competing with chicks at a track meet. I don't know if y'all have seen this. Woo! We were talking about it a little bit last hour. They had one Olympic track winner hit out at transgender athletes. And it was the trans athlete CeCe Telfer, who as a man, competes against women in hurdles. And of course, guess what? He wins. He won the title. I mean, he beats everybody. He's also like almost twice their height. He's huge. He looks like a dude. You can wear pink. You can put lipstick on. You can grow your hair out. You look like a dude. Neck check. You're a dude. And we are sacrificing women at the altar of this insanity. You can see him, though. You can see CT. There is no problem with visibility. I mean, spot the dude in the image that Juan is showing in the simulcast. Is it A, B, or C? One of these things is not like the other. Yeah? It's not difficult. No, we see you. But we see too little of Jesus in all of it. We have more in stores. We roll towards headlines. And coming up, we got some Law and Order as well. Do you hear more squatter stories? Squatters went into this woman's home, sold her possessions at a yard sale. This is just wild. Our partners at Hub Bring You Free Radio, because we're all going to need it, especially with this administration. Gold Co. Go and get some gold and silver and bury it in a hole in your backyard. I don't know. I mean, that seems like it's actually better than anything else, I think. That's probably the smartest advice I could give. The gold IRA field is super oversaturated, and I don't trust anybody. And then I found Gold Co. because Gold Co., instead of just like rushing you into stuff, they're like, wait a minute, do you understand how this works? And then they walk you through it, which is super helpful. They want to make sure that you know absolutely as much as possible about how gold IRAs work. So they offer these gold IRA kits for individual buyers, and it explains the entire economy. And they want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. And this is, I mean, obviously, precious metals ownership is a super important part of your overall retirement and saving strategy. So they're dedicated to transparency. They have unmatched customer service. They want to help you add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation. So you can get your free 2024 gold kit and learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as well. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee. Protect your family's financial future and freedom and get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Man, play stupid games and you're going to win stupid prizes. So an American YouTuber was kidnapped in Haiti because he tried to meet the new gang leader, Barbecue. How did you think that was going to go? That happened. This happened on Friday. The guy is known as your fellow Arab or simply Arab. He left his Atlanta home, Addison Maloof, traveled to Haiti to interview Barbecue, right? The gang leader of Haiti now. And within 24 hours, the YouTuber, along with a colleague, they were abducted and held for ransom by members of Barbecue's gang. And so they said that they've completely run all of the major areas. They have already abducted 17 Western missionaries since 2021. And they said that they confirmed the kidnapping on social media on Friday, saying, yes, we kept it private for 2 weeks, but now it's out. Yes, he's been kidnapped in Haiti. We're working on getting him out. So that's it. I mean, why would you do that? Why would you go and interview? I can't, man. Let's see. Half of senior staffers in Congress are so fed up they may quit. I hope they get fed all the way up and do quit because there's too many of them as it is already. A helicopter dropped 10,000 Easter eggs on Indiana kids. This sounds like that could be problematic. Just saying. But it was the Easter egg hunt hosted by the Ross Foundation. And they said that they dropped 10,000 Easter eggs on Indy kids. It was a helicopter, dropped the eggs. I'm assuming that it's like they didn't have the kids right there. It was just over a field. They dropped them and then they allowed the kids to go to the field. Open. Yeah, they didn't let the kids come in and then, you know, dropped hard eggs on them. That would have been bad. So a state of emergency was declared in the Niagara region because of the solar eclipse. Now, when these things are declared, They do so because they're expecting so many people to come in and view the eclipse that it's going to overwhelm their roadways. And they said that if there's anything that arises, it would also overwhelm our critical infrastructure. So I get it that they're being proactive in case something goes sideways, but still, it's weird. I mean, we're right in the belt of it, of having the solar. I mean, we're going to be able to see it from where we are, but it lasts for like a few seconds. I mean, good grief.
4 minutes.
Just 4 minutes. Like, calm down. It's, you know, it's not the end of the world, unless it is, which I hope it's not. All right, stick with us. More in store. Our partners that are going to help get us through this next story, ReadyWise. ReadyWise emergency food, because it's important to be prepared. You never know. It could be like a natural, it could be smog, sweet meteor of death hitting the planet like I hope it does. And, you know, if it doesn't eviscerate us all, you're going to need your ReadyWise food. I'm telling you right now, and you can use code DANA20 to save 20% on any regularly priced item. This is an American company, and they provide high quality, delicious food packed at their state-of-the-art USA plant. And you're supporting American jobs. You're getting U.S. food. You know where your food is coming from. Just because it's emergency food does not mean that you should not know where it comes from any less. 1 month supply, 2-bucket bundle right now, and 36 pouches of their premium survival food. You get all kinds of entrees, drinks, breakfast, everything, the whole nine yards. Everything that you need in terms of carbs and protein in the exact portions that your body would need, 2,000 plus calories, 50 plus grams of protein per day. All food is made with high quality U.S. ingredients. No refrigeration required. Easy to prepare. Just add water, and a 25-year shelf life. The time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use code DANA20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code DANA20.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Well, apparently the speaker finds trans people abhorrent. And I think he ought to think about that. The fact of the matter is, as you said, March 31st has been a day to lift up transgender people who endure violence. And bigotry. Easter, the date changes
false
every
preacher.
Single day. But this is just one more instance of folks who do not know how to lead us, trying to divide us.
So Raphael Warnock just proves that even the devil can cite scripture. Yep. Right there. That's what that does. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the bottom of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, X, all the places, Substack, Chapter and Verse. What they fail to mention to you is that this is the first time a presidential proclamation has been issued. It doesn't matter that it's been, you know, that they've had this like day of whatever, because trans people have been invisible this entire time. I don't know if you guys knew this. They were invisible, in fact, until 2009, when a wizard named Barack Obama declared that they are to be visible only on one day of the year. Actually, he didn't declare it. It was just a thing that went up on the White House website. But this is the first time a presidential proclamation by a president was actually issued saying that these trans people are invisible and now they have to be visible one day of the year. And it just happened to coincide with Resurrection Day, which is funny. And I'm somewhat joking. I hate that I have to explain that because our world's so ridiculous. But seriously, what is the visibility day? If they are invisible, why are they not in the military? I'm just envisioning an entire force of invisible transgender people. It's going to be a bunch of dudes in lipstick. And when you send them over there and when they become visible for the one day, that's going to scare the hell out of the enemies. I mean, I'm for that, Kane, right? That sounds like that's, you know, I'm for an advantage. So if they're invisible all the other days, because what else does this stupid stuff mean? It's not, the problem isn't that they're invisible. We see them. They're really hard to miss. But again, like I told you, it's all a part of that Christian nationalist thing. It is. I have a couple of others. Oh, and what he's talking about there too, Raphael Warnock, they were talking about it's abhorrent to actually issue the proclamation on Easter Sunday. That is abhorrent. That's ridiculous. And that was done on purpose. So let's stop. Just stop it. A couple of other things I wanted to touch on with you is we have a bunch of Law and Order stuff as well. We're going to get into some of the got some Republican issues. This is a real tweet. I just saw this. I'm going to talk about Law and Order, so this dovetails right into what we're getting into. This is an actual real tweet. This is Bellevue, Washington. It's their official verified account. I think it's an April Fool's joke because it is April Fool's today. I am not allowed to do April Fool's jokes. Isn't there a law about that, Kane, by the way?
It's not a law. But
no,
yeah.
That people on air, you can't do jokes
no,
like that.
And you, I think, ruined it, actually, if you remember back in the day. I think this was like 2011.
I didn't ruin it.
Oh, I think you did. What and did? There was I can't remember the specific. If I had more time, I could probably remember the specifics of it. But I do know that you ruined it for everybody after that, because then the boss of that station that we worked for put out the memo always that weekend before Easter. Or I'm sorry, the weekend before, you know, April Fool's Day.
He put out a proclamation?
Yeah, he put out a proclamation and was specifically made sure that I saw it, because then I would have to tell you.
I don't remember what I did. I'm innocent.
No, you're not.
What
I remember,
I
remember. I don't remember specifically, but give me time. I'll figure it out. Yeah. I'll remember. But
this feels like
you ruined it, and now
news.
We can't do any of those April Fool's jokes on the air anymore. We can't do any of that stuff because you ruined it like a decade and a half ago.
I did not do anything like that.
I'm not kidding.
I don't actually think I did.
What? Selective memory. That's what I'm
saying. I mean,
seeing.
I may have. It sounds like something I would do. I mean, to be fair.
Right.
But I just don't recall it. So it, because I don't recall it.
I don't remember specifically, but I remember something. It was something you did on air. We just couldn't do it anymore after that.
Yeah, I don't remember what it
is. Became a law at that point.
Anyway, this looks like, the crazy thing is that this, I think this, they didn't say it was, but I think it's an April Fool's joke. But this actually could be real. It could be real. They never actually get. They never actually say it's an April Fool's joke, which is kind of funny. Maybe it's not. The world's so dumb. But they go, as part of our effort to reduce our carbon footprint, we're excited to announce that we're going to replace several of our patrol SUVs with state-of-the-art skateboards. And it says, possible delayed response time if you live at the top of the hill. I think it's a...
That's a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke. But seriously, you had to think, didn't you?
For a second.
For a split second, you're like, could be,
yep.
Because things are so dumb.
Legit.
Everything is so stupid that you actually have to take a beat before you figure out whether or not it's real or not. I mean, that's the reality. In Texas, there was a judge, this is via El Paso Times, who ordered the release of illegal immigrants that were accused of a border riot. So this magistrate judge on Easter ordered the release of illegal immigrants accused of a border riot. And it's on camera, by the way. There was a stampede that overwhelmed the National Guard troops there at the Rio. And this article is so clunky because they're trying to use certain politically correct words. And it is so ridiculous. These undocumented, oh my gosh, stop. This is an undocumented purchase. I'm just going to steal stuff and be like, it's an undocumented purchase. How dare you? Asking for records. What are you, a Nazi? That works now. I mean, I'm just saying, they said that that's apparently how things go. But this judge said, Humberto Acosta made his ruling on Easter and said that the rioting participation cases will be released on their own recognizance. That's what he said. And it's on video. They tore down the razor wire. They assaulted some of the guard troops. They knocked one of them down. The guard had to work to regain control. And I don't know what one thing that they haven't actually stated. And apparently this isn't evident in the judge's ruling, because there were like actual assaults that had taken place during this riot at the border. And it doesn't actually state whether or not the ruling to just let them go is applicable only to people who participated in the riot and not the assaults in that. It doesn't actually make, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's just a blanket. You know, they're just, you know, across the board, let them go. I wouldn't be surprised. There were hundreds of arrestees. Hey, Kane, if you rioted at Mexico's border with the federales, what would happen?
I don't know. I'd probably be in heaven.
You'd be in a Tijuana jail. That's what happened. Just, wow. That is, and that judge is just letting them go. There's a new, that's a new identity politic. If you enter the country illegally now, it is just like being gay or trans or a woman or a person of color, apparently. If you enter illegally. But I think actually, isn't that only applicable to some people who enter illegally, not all? You have to go and get, you know how you can get those paint cards at Home Depot? And it shows you the different hues on it? Yeah, yeah, swatches at like the swatches at Home Depot or Lowe's or wherever. And it shows you all the different hues of the paint. You got to get one like that, I think, for skin color and apply that card to the arm of the people who enter illegally. And if it's like one way on the gradient, you're clear. If it's another way, then no, you don't get to use the identity politic box because whatever your lighter hue meant that that negated your illegal entrance. See what I mean? So certain things, you have to have like two or more identity politics to not be negated by your skin color. You see? Unless you're trans.
It's hard to keep up.
The rules are difficult, man.
It's hard to keep up.
Yeah, it's like really, like Whack Bat makes more sense. These are very difficult rules. And none of them make sense because they change to fit whatever narrative exists, whatever the narrative is. So with squatters, this is crazy. New York Post says in Texas, this is in Texas. Now in Texas, the governor was like, yeah, you can use castle doctrine, et cetera, et cetera. They said squatters turned a Texas woman's home into a drug den and sold her possessions at a yard sale. Terry Boyette was in Florida caring for her sick mother when a friend called to tell her someone squatted her Dallas area home. She had previously hired workers to renovate her house, but after she left, a painter broke in and wrecked the place, leaving crack pipes in her oven and needles in a drawer. It took 6 months for her to get her home back, and she says that all of her belongings have been damaged beyond repair or sold. Her bed's in the backyard. Her dishes are gone. She says all of my stuff has been sold through the yard sale and online. And then apparently the guy who squatted the house was letting people rent it short term and collecting money on that. She was literally leaving. She was caring for her mother, her sick mother in Florida, and her neighbors called. She called police to report the break-in, but she was told that because the squatter had been there for more than 10 days, she would have to evict him. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go in, throw some lead down, and then ask questions after and not apologize for anything. She tried to evict the squatter herself, but it took, I'm not doing that. That is absolute BS. If you want to get killed, there's a great way to do it. Squat in somebody's home. 10 days? Are you kidding me? 10 days. And they had to go through, you have to hire an attorney and go through this whole process. Thousands of dollars just to get an intruder out of your home. In Dallas. And of course, when she finally did get a court date, guess what? The squatter doesn't show up. And then the judge extended the appeal.
No.
Because the judge didn't want the squatter to be homeless over the holidays. I am not joking you. And the homeowner was like, I'm actually homeless over the holidays because this intruder took over my home while I was caring for my sick mother in Florida. And this intruder was only there for 10 days. Yeah. Yep. And it is, oh my gosh, the photos of the devastation are crazy. And they say that squatters in Texas can claim adverse possession, but they say it's a very involved process, but clearly it's not, because this was able to happen to this woman very, very easily. So I'm telling you, I'm not, what I'm going to do is I would call the police to report that I had killed an intruder, is how that would work. I have to tell you guys, when we moved, because we kind of had to, our old house that we were in, we didn't put on the market for a while. We were waiting for everything to calm down, and we had this psycho who flew halfway across the country and tried to break in my house because he thought I was there. He had a bunch of pills, and yeah, it was crazy. Like, and our neighbors had called the police. And I was at home with my youngest son, and my husband was out with our oldest son. He had a game, and he was out with him. They were like 2 hours away. And God love our police, because they called me. because I made sure I got to know our police and all that stuff just in case anything happened. Because they were the ones who alerted me to what happened. They called me and they said, we just wanted to make sure that you, but it was funny why they called me, because they really weren't checking to see if I was okay. They were checking to see if they were going to arrive on scene and there was going to be a dead body there. And it was kind of, in hindsight, it was a little funny because they said, you know, Mrs. Lash, we just want to check in. We got this report from your neighbors. We just wanted to, you know, find out where you were. And, we know you're lawfully armed and all this stuff. And I'm like, wait, what's going on here? And then, you know, I talked to them later and I had said, yeah, if I was there, this would have been a very different type of phone call. I mean, I've literally trained hours for just that kind of scenario. And, you know, not that I would gleefully take someone's life, but I, you know, when you develop a certain set of skills and you never use them, you know, and then an opportunity presents itself. I'm just saying, if you're the stupid perp that's dumb enough to like try to squatter bust in on my house, you know, some of us may be like, wow, we get to actually use these skills. So I'm just saying it was a very interesting conversation. And they were very sweet and very cool about it. And we had to, I mean, it was, you know, they acted real quickly. And I cannot imagine, first off, they have to stake out these houses to make sure these people are gone. I mean, you pay attention and make sure that you're not watched when you're going in your home. I mean, we're apparently at that level. My point in sharing all of this, though, is that all of this restorative justice and this idea that we're going to coddle people who aren't the property owners, this is how you're going to get vigilanteism. I believe in our republic and I believe in what we've agreed to. But if you're not upholding your end of the bargain as elected officials and you're not allowing law enforcement to do their job, you will get vigilanteism. And then you can't complain about it after. And if you try too hard, those people could turn it on you. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the nation for 10 years. They have been leading the way and standing behind their service and their values as a company. And they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all major networks. You are getting the best service in your area, but you're not funding the far left. You're not funding things like DEI or Trans Visibility Day or gun control or any of those things. With all of these other competitors out there that offer worse service and have horrible customer service on top of it, you're actually weaponizing your own dollars against yourself because they spend it politically against the things that you vote against every time you're at the ballot box. And so when you switch to Patriot Mobile, not only are you putting momentum and fuel behind the things that you vote to protect, but you're also helping to create and maintain U.S.-based jobs. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. It makes it easy to switch. Keep your phone or your number. Upgrade. The choice is yours. Doesn't matter. And make sure that you get free activation using code Dana. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So in Tampa, this dude decided to play Grand Theft Auto in real life. He stole, and by stole, I mean he totally had a violent carjacking incident involving an ambulance. Of all the things you're going to carjack, it's an ambulance, really? They said that they got carjacked, the ambulance did, Friday morning. 36-year-old Lakeland resident Gregory McGall, yeah. Threw himself through the window into the ambulance and then wrestled with the ambulance driver for control of the vehicle. The driver, feared for his life, exited the vehicle, called 911, and then he fled. The dude fled in the stolen ambulance, crashed it in a fenced-in grass lot, and then left the scene. They got the ambulance back. They got him a couple of days later, and he also had, they had multiple community tips on him, and he also had some other offenses, too. Yeah, nobody's shocked by that. This Florida man was arrested for possession of ecstasy pills that were in the shape of Donald Trump's head. They were orange ecstasy pills in the shape, not kidding, Brendan Dolan King. He, according to Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, he was caught with pills that were color orange in the shape of Trump's face, said authorities. They were labeled Trump NL. And the Clearwater police told ABC News that they occasionally find ecstasy pills, you know, in different shapes. They found a Superman logo and a Batman logo. They said they have never seen this shape before. So that was a new one for them. So interesting. I don't even know how that's made, but so somebody would have to make a mold of that. I'm just thinking out loud here. You know. A Florida man fights with deputies after he fled on a go-kart. You really think that was going to work? Pensacola guy. He fought with deputies and then tried to get away. 42-year-old Brian Peterson on a go-kart. And they said that he was real easy to follow because he was driving a gas-powered go-kart that could not go very fast down the roadway. This is not Mario Kart, dude. So we went from Grand Theft Auto to Mario Kart. That's exactly what happened. We have more in store. Third hour on the way. Our friend Stephen Yates will join us at the bottom of our third hour, too. Stick with us. This is the best coffee that's out there. If you haven't tried it yet, you're missing out because this is a veteran-owned and veteran-staffed, and they also have some active-duty coffee company. And their mission, they support veterans and first responder causes, and they get much needed equipment to first responders as well. They help veterans fight diseases, PTSD, so much more. And they serve premium coffee to people who love America. They have these amazing roast profiles, and they develop those with the same mission focus they learned while serving our great nation. Every bag that is from Black Rifle Coffee is roasted right here in America. They don't do what some of these other cats do, and that they get these bags of coffee and they roast them, you know, in a foreign country, and then they bring them in and white label them and act like they do it here. That's not what Black Rifle Coffee does. And they have affordable choices. They have affordable, different affordable roasts. Everything's affordable at Black Rifle Coffee, especially when you join that Black Rifle Coffee Club and you choose your selected roast, how often you want it, delivered to your doorstep with free shipping. You never run out of coffee. You can also find kettles, grinders, mugs, apparel, all kinds of stuff, and get 20% off with code Dana. So try it for yourself today. Visit blackriflecoffee.com. Get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off, code Dana, blackriflecoffee.com.
To that point about funding, we've heard that it sounds like most of this is going to be paid for by the federal government, either about 90%, 80%, depending on how it works, the rest by the state. Where's that money going to come from?
So we're using an authority called the Emergency Relief. This is through our Federal Highway Administration. That's how we got those first $60 million out, and there will be more where that came from. Now, it is possible we may need to turn to Congress to supplement that fund. That has happened in the past. If you remember the 2007 bridge collapse in Minnesota, ultimately about $260 million put together, including funds that were put through Congress on a bipartisan basis. And I hope and expect this, too, will be a bipartisan priority.
Yeah, except the problem wasn't, you know, like an infrastructure issue. The problem was a boat lost power and ran into a bridge. And so it's the responsibility of the company that ran into the bridge, their boat that ran into the bridge. They're the people who are on the hook for the cost of repairs and cleanup, not the American taxpayer. That's not. And the fact that they just like rushed into that without even clarifying that is wild to me. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. Always good to be with you this Monday. That's the first thing that they should have done. They should have just said that we're going to await the outcome of this investigation to see exactly what happened before making determinations about, you know, if we're going to step up and pay for anything, because it is clearly the shipping company. They own the boat, or they lease this boat that another company owns, and have assumed the liabilities from that via the lease. So that's your issue. That's your, you ran into a bridge because you had a malfunction, and it can still be a mistake for the first time. You know, it can be a mistake. That's fine. But an accident, that's fine. But that doesn't mean that you're not culpable still. And that doesn't mean that all of us taxpayers are on the hook for this. They just act like it's a grab bag of cash to just throw out every single time. That's what they act like. And it's just wild that they didn't even wait for that. So we've been discussing a number of things here. We've the proclamation. We talked about that. There's still some. There's some audio from that. I put some audio. I think it was in our Slack channel, where Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about this just a little bit ago when they had the White House press briefing, and she was asked about whether or not it was misinformation. That's what she had said when she said it was misinformation that Biden declared Easter Sunday as a transgender day of visibility. And what they're driving this narrative, and you're going to hear this on cable news tonight. They're trying to say that Biden didn't declare it, so that's it's misinformation, and these are all lies. They're like, well, it's been like this since 2009. But the issue is that this is the first time a presidential proclamation was given. But just listen real quick to the back and forth here.
Really so surprised by the misinformation that's been out there around this. And I want to be very clear. Every year for the past several years, on March 31st, Transgender Day of Visibility is March. And as we know, for folks who understand the calendar and how it works, Easter falls on different Sundays, right? Every year. And this year it happened to coincide with Transgender Visibility Day. And so that is the simple fact. That is what has happened. That is where we are. And I do want to say a couple of things because I think it's important here. As you just stated in your questions, what we've been hearing out there, a lot of misinformation done on purpose. And as a Christian who celebrates Easter with family, President Biden stands for bringing people together and upholding the dignity and freedoms of every American.
Okay, just be honest about it. Just be honest about it. Just be honest that this is ultimately it was bad optics on your part, and you could have moved it. I hate this thing that, well, Republicans, shame on you for noticing this day. Again, it's the first time that there was a proclamation given for it, number one. So if you don't want Republicans to notice it, then you shouldn't have said anything about it. But you see what they did. The White House issues a proclamation for the first time ever, a proclamation for this day. And Republicans notice it, and yet Republicans are the bad ones for noticing it. So they bait you on purpose so they can complain about your reaction to being baited. They wanted to create this thing so they could try to paint you as like Christian nationalists or something. I think they're bigots because they decided to exploit Resurrection Day for a mental illness day. That seems, and it's unfair. And I'm kind of tired of some of the Republicans and conservatives that I'm seeing that I thought had more brain power than this, being honest, sit here and go, well, it's been like this for this long. I mean, I don't know why, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Again, first time a presidential proclamation was issued. And so Republicans are apparently bad for noticing this. This is so stupid. I mean, again, the whole thing is goofy. They want a specific reaction. But it's the first time they had a proclamation for it. That is true. That is true. A few other things that we're touching on today as well as we roll towards. Let me pull this up because I had some. I wanted to play. Where is it at? This is audio soundbite 13. So apparently, Marjorie Taylor Greene is already pushed to have another speaker race. So she's pushed for a motion to vacate. And Johnson had responded and said that we fought like warrior poets. Okay, what? But I think all of this is dumb. Listen to this. This is Johnson talking about this motion to vacate. This is what Republicans are now dealing with. Audio Sunday 13.
I don't think it does. And I think all of my other Republican colleagues recognize this is a distraction from our mission. Again, the mission is to save the Republic. And the only way we can do that is if we grow the House majority, win the Senate, and win the White House. So we don't need any dissension right now. Look, Marjorie Taylor Greene filed the motion. It's not a privileged motion, so it doesn't move automatically. It's just hanging there. And she's frustrated. She and I exchanged text messages even today. We're going to talk early next week. Marjorie's a friend. She's very frustrated about, for example, the last appropriations bills. Guess what? So am I. As we discussed, Trey, these are not the perfect pieces of legislation that you and I and Marjorie would draft if we had the ability to do it differently.
So they have a horrible spending bill that's going to be even worse because they only have a plus one majority in the House come April now. And you can't vacate the speaker. Think about this for a minute. You barely have a majority in the House. You're going to vacate the speaker when your majority is even smaller? Because you have to have a certain percentage of the vote in order to... You see how this works, right? I mean, there was a threat when we had a wider margin of Republicans in the House of having Hakeem Jeffries. Now you want to do it when we have a smaller... Now, are they purposefully picking the worst times to have a speaker race? I mean, I was told, guys, that we weren't even going to have these issues anymore if we just got rid of Kevin McCarthy. And then you get a guy that has his exact same record, but none of his political capital in the seat. And now we have a smaller House majority. And now we're going to do this again. So if it was close to getting Hakeem Jeffries the last time that we did it with a small House majority that we had, how is it going to be any less risky to not have Hakeem Jeffries with only a plus one majority in the House now? Why is nobody else talking about this? This is so dumb. This is what we're doing in an election year. I get it. The spending bills are bad. I don't know what else to do with the elected officials that we have, though. They're as conservative as the people who elected them to Congress would allow. And not everybody comes from conservative areas. So what's to do about that? You know, there is a thing that you can do, and I've done it before, and I've never gotten paid doing it. And I paid my own flight and my own gas and my own hotel room, is you can go and help, you know, in different areas, try to turn out the vote for more conservative candidates. That's a heck of a lot easier than just having nonstop like musical chairs for the speakership, thinking that you're going to land on somebody more conservative, because the smaller your majority gets in the House, the less likely you are to get somebody super conservative as your speaker. So you're going to risk getting someone who's even further to the left with probably even less political capital. That just doesn't make any sense. So if you have, I mean, this is not what we should be spending our time on. I really don't think that we should be spending our time on this. And they're going to engender a lot of discord within their base. Republicans are, if they keep pushing this kind of stuff, because you're not getting a lot of bang for your buck out of these fights, but you do get a lot of ink about it. And you do get a lot of really bad narratives about it that I think end up hurting Republicans later on. This, a few other things to get in here. This piece right here. A Rutgers University professor had a seminar, right, talking about the conflict in Gaza. And what do you often hear about how letter people, alphabet people are treated in Gaza? You hear that they usually don't get Western style treatment, correct? So Maya Mikdashi, who is the associate professor of a really stupid line of study, women's gender and sexuality studies at New Jersey State University, told students she was approached by people at pro-Gaza protests who told her she would be treated horribly by Hamas. And she started telling everyone, she and this Rutgers, they were saying that it is homophobic and violent to tell about how alphabet people are treated in Gaza. She says that it's violent and homophobic if you ask a gay person, do you know what Hamas would do to you if you were, if someone who is a letter person supports Hamas, and if they're asked, do you know how Hamas treats gay people, that's considered homophobic. Not factual, just homophobic. Wow. I don't know, guys. I don't know. This is all so stupid. I can't even deal with this. This is all so dumb. Oh my gosh. And it's a gender study professor. But that's real life. That's what happens. I mean, the punishment is death. It's not allowed. Which like makes it weirder that someone who would identify as being of one of the letters, why they would support Hamas. And you see where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah.
But you can't ask about it. You can't. So coming up, we've got headlines. This story cracks me up. Americans were sold a van life dream by influencers, and they say it's a real nightmare. It's not at all what we thought it would be. Really? You didn't think? You thought actually that living in a van down by the river was going to be great? Because some influencers on social media told you and had a very, very specially curated fake life, because you know they went back to their big old McMansion. Really?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this was in Iowa. Apparently a fertilizer spill killed more than 749,000 fish in Montgomery County. It'll kill fish elsewhere too, as Kane notes, like in Missouri and anything downstream. But they say that this happened in early March. It was a 50-mile stretch of, you people in Iowa are going to get me for this, East Nishnabotna River. That you said that genuinely. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me to say it a second time. They said that the Iowa Department of Natural Resources was notified. And they said 1,500 tons of liquid nitrogen fertilizer discharged into a drainage ditch. And an above-ground storage tank valve left open, caused a spill, blah, blah, blah. But they said, yeah, they found a lot of fish. We're getting upwards of closer to a million. And they broke it down, all kinds. Carp sucker, common carp, gold eye, minnow, suckers, flathead catfish, channel catfish, green sunfish, silver carp, grass carp, And they said ammonia levels are declining in the river, but water ain't fit to drink. Just saying. By the way, golly, Iowa. Indianola's National Balloon Museum damaged in a fire a week before its grand opening. I'm dealing with that, and then I'm watching my friend Dave Burge go off on Cynato, which is apparently the new mascot or something for Cyclone Nation, Iowa State Athletics. Cynato, he says it looks like Blood NATO. Kids love Blood NATO. It does look like a deep fried bloody muscle of some sort. I don't know. I'm not saying that. A native Iowan is. I'm just repeating what he's saying. LinkedIn is experimenting with a TikTok-like video feed in its app, and I can't think of anything more annoying. LinkedIn is where people that I want to associate with the least are. I never go to my LinkedIn account. I ignore all messages and notifications, and I can't think of anything more heinous than expanding this hellscape that is social media and adding a video component to LinkedIn. I don't like it, in case you can't tell.
Do you engage with your business contacts on LinkedIn?
No. All right. I don't like engaging, period, on LinkedIn. It's so stupid. It's so dumb. I get it that maybe it makes sense for some people. A 9-year-old driver led California police on a short chase. Yeah, because he can't drive is why. California Highway Patrol, they were surprised to find a small child behind the wheel when it was a Volkswagen that sped away during a traffic accident. No one was hurt, thankfully, but it was a 9-year-old. They were trying to drive themselves to school, which is kind of sad and also makes me worried about what that 9-year-old's home life is, that there was no adults there to even stop him from driving himself to school. That's oh my goodness. We've got more in store. Stephen Yates joins us coming up next.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here. You can listen coast to coast on a station near you. You can also stream the radio program. And of course, we're on X and Rumble and YouTube and Facebook and Channel 347 DirecTV. There's a lot. We're on the interwebs. So it's good to be with you, bottom of this third hour. I saw this story about London Breed, who is the mayor of San Francisco, right? You guys know, very, very familiar with London Breed. So do you remember when the CCP came to San Francisco and Gavin Newsom was having his little lovey-dovey thing with Xi Jinping, and they literally rolled out the red carpet, commie red, rolled out the red carpet. They had the commie flags all up. It was really weird to see in an American city. And protesters that were protesting the CCP's brutal regime, they were attacked by CCP squad baddies. Like, actual CCP members, government members, were attacking our citizens. And San Francisco did nothing. And so now London Breed is apparently going to Hong Kong and China, which now China says are one and the same now. Why is there such a relationship there? And can you imagine, like, 2024, nobody does anything. Joining us right now, our very good friend, Stephen Yates. He's senior fellow at America First Policy Institute, and he's also chair of the China Policy Initiative. He joins us via Skype. Stephen, always good to see you. Why is London Breed? I mean, I know that it's not unusual for mayors of large cities to do these sorts of international goodwill trips, but this is weird to me, especially considering the Gavin Newsom with Xi Jinping and the CCP and the way that they acted when they came here to the United States. I mean, we flew communist flags in a major city in the United States and welcomed them with a red carpet. Why is she doing this?
Well, I can only imagine that the justification for this is what they don't say out loud, but it rhymes with ka-ching. And so she must be going and trying to get some money flowing back to the Golden City there. And It's really just so gross. I mean, our American cities used to be great sources of pride.
Yeah.
This was the first gateway into the Americas. We had fabulous buildings, great workers, the hubs of culture, civilization. They were actually kind of cool. And now, I mean, for a commie leader, they'll clean the feces and the needles off the street and throw the tent villages off a few blocks away. And now she's going to do what? Go over to a city that used to be great, Hong Kong. It was a wonderful place to go that now has political prisoners. Is she going to say anything about Jimmy Lai, who's still in prison for running a newspaper that the poor commies couldn't handle digital commentary about themselves? Yeah. And so, I mean, he's a, you know, this, it's just, to me, the easiest thing that America do is, A, not go. Maybe there's some things to take care of at home. Didn't Gavin suck up enough? I mean, for the whole state of California, does the mayor really need to go and clean up on aisle four or something for that? There's just, the whole thing is just so gross. But this is where the city of San Francisco is and a lot of other American cities. Governors and mayors do this kind of thing, but it's usually to promote trade and investment and exchange and stuff like that. Who's doing that with San Francisco now?
Yeah. And it's weird talking with our good friend Stephen Yates at Yates Comms on X. And it's weird to see this too, particularly with the collection of stories that have come out about, for instance, you know, the whether it's the Chinese infiltration of United States academia. And then, of course, you know, you and I've talked about, too, those police substations that they had here going after either Chinese nationals or Chinese people who immigrated legally to the United States as a way to, like, punish them or their family back home for dissent. It's weird because nothing's been done to remedy that. Nothing was done to improve those relations in the eyes of Americans. Everything was kind of swept under the rug, and it still is. And I just find that to be incredibly suspect. And now you have this giant, I mean, it's just, it's a sycophantic, weird thing with San Francisco. And it just, I just don't know why, with a geopolitical foe that is communist and has the worst desires for the U.S. at heart, why it's allowed by this government.
Well, I actually don't think it should be, but even during the Cold War, we had people who would come and go to the Soviet Union and other places. But, you know, you'd think that if you were representing San Francisco, you might go to China and say, hey, we've had this whole debate about TikTok in the United States, yeah, and we really think maybe you should divest from that. And oh, by the way, what about blocking all of my tech companies from having any access to your people? Are you going to raise any of those things, Miss Big City Mayor going and representing Silicon Valley near abroad, all of that? Right. I doubt it. And so there's not even just the basic stuff of representing your constituencies and the driver of your economy.
You touched on one story that I was going to bring up with you as well. China blocks the use of American AMD and Intel chips, as it's called the tech Cold War, which it really is. So they're phasing out these advanced micro devices, these chips made by Intel. They're saying that this is erasing $1.5 billion value from Intel and a few hundred million off AMD in sales. They say that this is, you know, it's a Cold War between, you know, these. It's, I mean, it is in a way. I'm actually kind of shocked that they didn't make this move sooner. But what does that mean? Are they, if they're making this move now, then they're in a position where they must feel comfortable that they can take a very adversarial stance like this, and there's not going to be any repercussions for them.
Oh, I think that is an absolute correct assumption that right now, under current leadership here and elsewhere, they don't fear any kind of cost or retribution. But it also is a really revealing form of projection. Of course, they don't want any American apps or chips or cellular phones to be used by their government decision makers or leaders in their society. Why? Because, of course, they would use those things to spy on people. So they assume that we would do all of that, too. Sorry for us. We aren't organized enough or putting the right priorities in place to do those kinds of things to the big bad Chinese Communist Party. But in a way, they're doing this is a tell. And if we didn't have people who are covering their eyes and covering their ears in our policymaking, then it would be a very clear signal to us that we need to be decoupling from these folks in every strategic area yesterday. And what they're doing is saying, I want to be sanction proof and spy proof.
Yeah. This, speaking of China, This was the chips. I saw this. China's Chery. This is one of their Chinese automakers. They're looking, they're building, I guess, cheap EVs, right? And they want to sell those to Europe. They're starting to sell these cars in Italy this year. And apparently their commerce minister has been all over Europe trying to make this case for their EV company. I think their cars are ugly, by the way. I just have to say, I hate EVs. And I think these particular EVs from China are super heinous, which is funny to me that they started this, like, I guess, goodwill tour for this auto manufacturer in Milan, you know, a fashion capital. So they're going to start selling these in Italy in the third quarter. It's going to be their second European market. There's already fears for Italy's. So we're a car family and a food family in my house. So obviously Italy kind of hits that on both things. You know, Stellantis, the major auto manufacturer over there. There's some concern about Italy and, you know, the EU and all of these green regulations and all of these other member nations being more welcoming in terms of doing business with China, which, as we've discussed, gives them an even greater foothold with this whole move to make everybody reliant on EVs, in which China holds the monopoly. I kind of wanted to get your assessment of this because I'm hoping that the conservative wave that we've seen with some of these EU member states might be enough to kind of thwart some of this, you know, ingratiation of China into this market, but I don't know.
Well, you would think that Milan and anywhere that's tied to the textile and fashion industry would remember that that was the entryway of COVID onto the European continent, that the thanks they got for buying into being a part of China's manufacturing supply chain in a key industry was poisoning a generation of Italians and those in their near abroad. And so doubling down on this kind of integration with the CCP seems at minimum foolish at this point. And I thought the prime minister of Italy had wised up a bit to this, but the powers of industry are vocal, strong, and throw their weight around. The EVs themselves, I don't really get bothered one way or the other about EVs. My dad was a car mechanic. He lived his whole life working on internal combustion engines. I don't think anyone should be forced to choose, but I like things that go fast. Yeah. Some EVs go fast. Some go fast and loud at the same time. And that was my midlife crisis. But when it comes to the car stuff, it's a massive kind of pounding on the industrial fabric of Eastern Europe. The EVs kind of leapfrog past the entire parts and repair and manufacturing supply chain that is Eastern Europe for internal combustion engines. So the Germans, the Italians, and others are doing an immense disservice to their European neighbors that they claim they care about when they talk about Ukraine, but then they do things like this that make clear they don't really care about their neighbors if they're going to outsource an entire industry's inputs to China. And when it comes to EVs, that's what the big automakers of Europe have done. So I think there's multiple levels that are all bad for Europe in this, aside from maybe the few people that line their pocket, just like the mayor of San Francisco. There's people out there that just want to make that money. And what happens with their constituents, that's other people's problem.
That's a very good point. I mean, that's and I love the comparison that you made, too, about caring for Ukraine, because that's a huge industry over there in Eastern Europe. Going from Europe to, because I've never seen, I mean, I have seen, but I've never seen them actually raise, I'm going to bring this story up for you, an actual criticism like this. Vietnam is now hitting at China. They don't like what they're doing in the Gulf of Tonkin over there. They don't like that China's trying to once again redefine somebody else's waterways, because they think that all of the ocean over there in the South Sea belongs to them. Clearly it doesn't. But this is, I mean, when is the last time we've saw Vietnam? I mean, obviously, you pay attention to this more closely than I do. I just haven't seen a mainstream news article in quite some time where Vietnam raised a serious complaint against China and its activity there.
No, the volume on this is definitely at a higher than normal level. Things like this have come and gone for some time. It was actually during the time of Secretary Clinton being in the region for some kind of a summit. I think it was a Association of Southeast Asian Nations summit, and her then Assistant Secretary of State is now the Deputy Secretary of State, Kirk Campbell. They talked about this notion of a pivot to Asia. And Secretary Clinton kind of was burnishing her credentials about warning the Chinese about militarizing these reclaimed islands and making these aggressive claims, and that the United States and Southeast Asia would stand unified against Well, it was very, very clear soon after that those were empty words, and the military has made these islands bigger, definitely militarized them and fortified them, and now their claims are much more aggressive. Southeast Asian nations have, by and large, not wanted to speak out. They hate being forced to choose between the United States and China. So imagine how bad it must be that a country run by a communist party is complaining very vocally about this. So they're picking fights with Vietnam and the Philippines. So it makes it very clear that this isn't just about those dastardly free and democratic people in Taiwan or those honorary Japanese. They're picking fights with others that just wanted to be quiet and play nice. So there's clearly a problem with Xi Jinping's China.
That's a very good point. It's not just with Taiwan. Stephen Yates, always appreciate your insight. And you educate us on Mondays. We're so happy to have you. Thank you so much, and travel safe. I know you've been traveling all over the world. Continue your safe travels. Good to see you.
Thanks so much, Dana. Take care.
You too.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
So this is, you're watching the simulcast. These are pro-Gaza, or not pro-Gaza, pro-Hamas protesters that busted up into New York's St. Patrick's Cathedral and interrupted their Resurrection Day worship service. They're pro-Hamas protesters. I don't say pro-Gaza, the pro-Hamas protesters. And I don't think there's a distinction anymore. It's the legitimately elected government of Gaza, and they still enjoy, even as early as this month, overwhelming support. And their voters backed October 7th. Still do. But that's just hateful to interrupt a church service at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, to interrupt a church service with this stuff on Easter because of, you're mad because the elected terrorist group of Gaza decided to commit a terror attack and then the country they attacked responded and now they want to play victim? No. That's just disrespectful. They were lucky that they just got escorted out. It's so ridiculous. Just so ridiculous. There's just such a disrespect. So this, speaking of which, they had these their Republic Guard. They had a number of their generals that were apparently killed in this attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria. And Tehran says they're going to have a harsh response. Well, you know, Iran's been funding all this stuff. They fund Hamas. They fund Hezbollah. They fund the Houthis. They fund all of this. But they use all these third party groups so that they can maintain this very weak, level of denial. Like, it's not us. It's not us. I mean, you know, it was these groups that they pay, but they don't tell anybody. So they're saying that there's going to be a very harsh response. I would imagine that the response back then would be harsher. Apparently, the Iranian media confirmed the death of Brigadier General Mohammad Zaidi and a senior commander in the elite Quds force of the Iranian Republic Guard there. They said that him and two other generals. So, We have today's stupidity.
Yes, we do. There was a lot of, a surplus of stupid. Was going to do the Joe Biden stuff where he was slurring or when he was talking about the best economy in the world. It's just, he's just lying and maybe he just slurs. I don't know. But Jill Biden's a doctor, am I right? I
mean, yeah,
cut four, one.
Broadway, yeah.
This is what Jill Biden said.
Said. And Dr. Biden, what's the theme this year? This is something close to your heart.
It is. You know, I've been a teacher for over 30 years, so this is education.
Oh, boy.
So as you can see,
right,
there's
there
something
it is.
For
Joe thought it was funny.
Education. It's not even.
This is a lot different than the last Easter
That's
where they had topless people like
Dr.
jumping
Jill
around
Biden.
In the front, the South Lawn there at the White House. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, folks. I'll be on Jesse Waters' program tonight in the 7 p.m. Central Hour. Have a great night. See you at Substack as well. Back with you tomorrow.